This sermon was delivered at Grand Avenue Baptist Church, a gospel-centered church in Ames, Iowa. Hear more sermons and learn more about Grand Avenue at gabcames.org.
Okay, I will pray and then we'll start talking about this. Jesus, thank you for your creation. Thank you for all that you have made and how you have made us in your image. And thank you that you have given us the attributes of you to be creative and to learn and to grow and know you. In your name, amen. So, AI, or artificial intelligence, is a large topic you may have heard in the news or on commercials and marketing. It is affecting the world. And since 2022, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it was 3 years ago, and a little-known company called OpenAI released this tool into the world called ChatGPT. And it sounds something very technological. It's an acronym with a chat in front of it. It describes how you interact with it and then what it is. So it's like saying Accelerator V8. What's that? And so ChatGPT is what a lot of people might associate with AI now. And since that November of 3 years ago, the market capitalization, or the value of the markets in U.S. public companies, has risen $27 trillion in 3 years. And so there's something happening with that technology. If you were old enough to remember 1999, last millennium, you might have heard something called the internet and have been wondering maybe what was this thing called the internet. And so a lot of people think AI is something similar to that. We'll talk a little bit more about that maybe a little later. But ChatGPT. GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. That's just something you can know. It's an algorithm. It's just a way you make an algorithm. And so OpenAI was very uncreative in what they called this thing. But you might think more about AI, now in thinking, how might I be affected by this? Well, I have a job next year. I think about that almost every day now. In that, I'm in software, and AI is very ironic for software people. Software people made the thing that might just put them out of work. And you might be a college student. I don't think we have any college students. That's right. You might work with language in some form or fashion. You might write books. You might write grants or be a lawyer and do different things. You might give sermons. AI has the ability to affect your world. And if you are none of those things and you just live in this world, AI is going to affect your world. And so you should be thinking about it. What is this thing? What do we think about this? And so that's what I'm here to tell you a little bit more about. What is AI, and then what should we think about this? So if you have a handout on it, there is some strange-looking text. It's highlighted in gray. This is my world now. And it is presented to us like this. This is ChatGPT sort of stuff. And so my point in pointing you to that is, if you read it, there's some gobbledygook in there, but the first sentence says, let me check. And then it says, read. And then it says, I need to update. And then it says, now let us run the test at the very end. The we, the I, the us, it's a machine talking to me. This is output from the machine. I'm the only human involved in reading that text. There's no other human. And so the chat output is personalized. It's personified as a human. And that is how most AI is presented to us. It's presented as our personal artificial intelligence to do our work for us. And so this is just one example of AI. AI today can generate images, it can generate video, it can generate audio. It takes you about 5 seconds of your voice can then be recreated into any word that we want. Other applications of AI that you might not have known but are there, every time you do a spell check, that's pretty much AI. Google Maps, there's AI in that, in trying to find the routes and all of that. The weather forecast is artificial intelligence in a way. And I'm using a really broad definition that I haven't said yet, but AI is essentially an algorithm. And so if we take that as the definition, then you're using AI, you're affected by AI in lots of ways. Your bank makes sure that you're not the, or you are the rightful person making that transaction. AI is running through every transaction, making sure it's secure and right. And so AI is presented as a personal artificial intelligence to do our work for us. And to give us a little bit of a demonstration, I'm going to have us do an exercise. And so in this exercise, I'm going to give you a prompt, and you're going to think what the next words will be. And you have to remember what you think, because then I'm going to ask a few of you to share what you thought, and then everyone else who thought the same needs to raise their hands, and we'll take a count of who thought what. We won't remember what you thought. We'll just take a count. So the first prompt, and remember, you have to fill in kind of the end, like the next words. The first prompt is, once upon a... All right. Luke, what did you think? Time. All right, who else thought time? Okay, so like 90% of you. All right, so I won't even ask what else. All right, the next prompt is, it was... Josiah, what did you think? Okay. David in the back, what did you think?
It was dark and dreary night.
Okay. Ashley, what did you think? Okay. So who thought dark or something dark and dreary? All right. So that's like 50%. Katie, what did you think?
Nothing.
All right, anyone else think nothing or something close to nothing? All right. All right, next prompt. In the other Luke. All right, who thought that? All right. Anyone else have something else other than that? Okay. All right. So very good. So what you just did is what AI does. The collective minds of all your human intelligence, you took a prompt and you extrapolated what might come next. And this is all ChatGPT does. It's all what Claude does. It's all what Gemini does. All those algorithms, if you're working with a chat interface, it's taking your text and predicting the next word. So there's no intelligence in that. So I think the thing to note is that it's a prediction, it's a statistical probability of what might be next. And so like once upon a time, 90%, 100% of all of us, that's what we thought. And so if you type once upon a into ChatGPT, it's going to give you a time every time. Like, it's not going to vary because of the data that's been trained. You've all been trained with nursery rhymes to think once upon a time. We as Christians, or those familiar with the Bible, if we hear in the, we think in the beginning, because that's Genesis. So, a few questions we'll ask is a little bit more of what is AI. Is AI a person? Remember, it's presented to us as a personal intelligence. Is AI intelligent? Is it artificial? Is it good or bad? And then where do we go from there? So, AI, what is it? On your handout, you'll have a few things. It's a fairly broad field of study, and my definition of AI is it's an algorithm. And so that includes machine learning. Machines don't learn, but the algorithm is complex enough that with human input and other things, we can kind of fairly rightly predict what's happening. Another field of study is natural language processing. And so this is the curious, interesting thing, I think, is that whether it's with audio or with text, the algorithms are created now enough that it can take English and derive meaning or kind of get some understanding of what might be next. And that's natural language processing. And so understanding verb, conjugation, noun, those sorts of things, that's that field of natural language processing. And then computer vision is... if you've ever had to fill out, like, here's these 9 images, click all the ones with the bicycle, you're, one, training AI, and two, that's computer vision, is you're training AI to understand what is a bicycle. That's the algorithm they're trying to figure out. And they need a whole lot of humans to figure that out. So those are the kind of the really broad fields of study for AI. But then next is a short history of AI generated by AI. So what you read there, I didn't edit at all, I don't think. It's what ChatGPT or something gave me. And so the thing I think is most interesting is it's not new. It's from the advent of computers. We've had this idea of artificial intelligence. 1956 is what this algorithm told me. I did not double check this data, but I trust it's fairly well trained and it can give me the right information. But yeah, 1956, AI is coined, and it takes 70 years or so for us to get to this point of now where we have enough data and we have enough compute to actually do something with it. And so overall, even from the beginning, like early programs are playing checkers or trying to prove theorems, it's a pattern matcher. So the algorithms are trying to match patterns. So if you have AA, BB, DD, EE, what's the middle two? If you have AA, BB, DD, EE, what's the CC, there you go. That's what the algorithm is doing. Another important, I think, note with AI as a technology is that it's not deterministic. And this is what I think frustrates us with medical practice and why it's still called a practice, is we want to be able to be told, do this surgery, take this medicine, and it's going to give you this outcome. But medicine's not deterministic. There's no determined outcome to it. There's a probability that if you do this, if you do that, it's going to help, but it's not deterministic. A deterministic thing is if I put this 3/4-inch piece of plywood over this small gap, it's not going to break unless I put too much load on it. We want something like that. That is deterministic. So AI is not deterministic, it's probabilistic. And at the end of the day, it's really just giving you a score. And if you're programming with AI, it actually just gives you, here's the probability, here's like 90%, the next word that given what you input it. And so it's just a statistical probability. So now that we know what AI is in the technical sense, as we interact with it, it's presented to you as a chat interface, most likely, unless it's hidden away. So spell check, if you have a computer, sometimes you could right-click on the text and it'll say, hey, do you want me to summarize this? That's using AI. Or if you are going to generate an image, that's AI. But most likely it's a chat interface, and then in the marketing, it's presented as a person. And so one of the questions we need to ask, is AI a person? And to know if it's a person, we need to look where something like that is told to us, and that's the Bible. The Bible tells us what a person is, kind of. It's actually, I thought it was kind of hard to figure out what is a person from the Bible. So I looked in, what kept coming to mind is the creeds, where God is three persons, specifically the Nicene Creed. And so I looked in a book called The Creeds of Christendom, and a guy a long time ago, he wrote that a person, or this is his definition of person. He says, nature or substance, essence, denotes the totality of powers and qualities which constitute a being, while person is the ego, the self-conscious, self-asserting, and acting subject. I thought that was really good. That's better than any definition I could come up with. But I think that the last part, the self-conscious, self-asserting, acting subject, is really helpful. Because as we go into thinking about a person, we see in the Bible that God is distinct, God the Father is distinct, God the Son is distinct, and God the Spirit is distinct. And so in John 14:26, Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things, or all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And so we have the Trinity acting, and we have each person of the Trinity doing something. The person is acting and is distinct. And then later in Jesus' baptism, Jesus is answering John the Baptist, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Jesus consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And so we can see that the person, each person of the Trinity, is acting. They're asserting their will. They're doing something. We also see this in other creatures as well. We see it in angels. Jesus says that he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, your father is the father of lies. Who's the father? The father of lies is the devil. And so if the devil can lie, he can speak, he can do something. We see it with good angels. From Luke 2, that the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. So the angel there is going, the angel is speaking. So they are two are persons. Humans are persons. This is usually what we think of people. We think of people as humans or as persons. Genesis 3, I think, gives a clear illustration of our ability to choose. Adam and Eve chose to sin. God addresses us as responsible for that. And yet humans are also different. So a person is not necessarily a human. It can be another created being, an angel or a fallen angel. But God is also a person. He's three persons. He's one being in three persons, different than all of the rest of his creation. And so humans are yet different. We're made in the image of God. From Matthew 22:37, we have a heart, soul, and mind. And then we also have a capacity for faith and knowledge of the truth. Angels seem also to have a capacity for the knowledge of the truth. They had to choose at one point. So that one's not uniquely human, but it's different than animals, for instance, where animals don't have knowledge of the truth, they don't have faith. And so, what is a person? A person is someone who can, an individual, self-conscious, self-asserting, and acting subject is what Schaff asserts. And I think as we look through the scripture, that's close. That's good. So is AI a person? No. It's an algorithm. It's not. It doesn't have a consciousness. It doesn't have an assertion. And it's not actually acting. You can give it a command to do something, just like you can click a button on your computer. But it's not actually acting under its own will. So then, is AI intelligent? Well, in Exodus, we see that God gives, he says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. God says that three times in Exodus. And then also, in 2 Chronicles, it's talking about Uzziah getting Jerusalem ready for war. And he says, in Jerusalem, we made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. I like that, actually. But the point is that God gives intelligence and ability to the creation. And in Exodus, it's given to humans. And then in 2 Chronicles, the machines are invented by men. And then, I think curiously, in Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God has made, or had made. And so more crafty, it seems to give some sort of intelligence or ability to think in some way. So animals have some sort of intelligence. But what's not in this list from the Bible is machines. Machines are invented, but they don't give intelligence. They're not thinking. They're not alive. And I think that's probably the major distinction, is intelligence needs to be alive. To have intelligence, you need to be alive in some way. But machines are not. So then, is artificial intelligence artificial? No, it's not. It has real-world effects. It consumes a lot of electricity. A lot. So much so that I even saw an article a little bit a while ago that Palo over by Cedar Rapids might be getting bought and being reactivated as a nuclear power plant, because nuclear power is the only sort of power that we have to power all of the chips that we want to use to this new thing called AI. I find it interesting that that's the choice. And yet, is AI artificial? So no, it's not. It has real-world effects. And yes, it is. It's not actually intelligent. God provides that intelligence. Is AI good or bad? And I think the thing that I want you guys to take away from this today is AI is a tool. It is nothing more than a really sophisticated, fancy shovel. It's a fancy shovel, for sure. But it's not more than that, and it's not less than that either. And so some of my favorite verses are in 2 and 3 John. And John writes, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use pen or paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come and talk to you face to face so that our joy may be complete." In Matthew 13:35, the townspeople are referring to Jesus as a carpenter's son. And what does a carpenter have? A carpenter has tools. And then in Genesis 3:24, we read that God puts in a cherubim at the entrance to the Garden of Eden. And what does that cherubim have? A tool, the coolest tool in all of creation, a flaming sword. And so AI is a tool. And God made tools. We make tools. Jesus used tools. They're not bad, necessarily, in their use of them. But tools are for us to communicate. They're for us to do work. And so some tools that we have, like our shovels, our dishwashers, a missile, those are all sorts of tools to accomplish some sort of end. And so they're imbued with a morality. A shovel can be great to dig a hole, to plant a raspberry bush. It can be great to dig a hole to build a fighting position or something. They can also be used to kill a person and bury the person in the hole. It's the tool is not the problem. It's the agent or the person behind you who's using that tool that might have a problem. So next, is AI good or bad? AI is a tool, but what is it doing? It's relieving you of some sort of work. A shovel helps you dig dirt faster. A missile helps you kill bad guys way over there so they're not over here. A dishwasher helps you so that you can have more time with your family. It's all taking work away or transforming it in some way. And so I think it's important for us to remember that work is good. In Genesis 1, 3, 7, and 6, God spoke and it was. God did work and it became. Which is, I think, really interesting about AI and why we find it's given a little like sparkle. So if you look in Google's interface, if you look in a lot of other software, if you're ever using it, it's probably denoted by a sparkle. And that sparkle is meant to conjure up this image of magic. AI is supposed to be magic because it's supposed to give you this feeling of ex nihilo, of out of nothing there is, but it's a lie. It actually doesn't do that. Only God can do that. And so work is good. We don't want to remove the idea that work, that we don't need to do any work, but AI will transform how we work. Just like the shovel transformed how Adam and Eve gardened, if they had one. So Colossians 3:23 reminds us that whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. So we are to work heartily. God worked, he created us to work, and we serve Jesus by our work. It's 11, about finished. So where do we go from here? I see a few dangers and a few hopes of AI. One of the first dangers is that we give over our human agency, we give over our decision-making to an algorithm. An algorithm has no ethic, it has no morals. It might be trained on data that has some of that, that has been input into that, but the algorithm itself has nothing. It's like a calculator. Does your calculator know whether or not it's good to do X or Z? No, it doesn't. Another danger is that we could despair at how it changes our work. We might really enjoy being that typist. Most likely, you don't have to be a typist anymore. Like, you might have to type, but we don't have the typist. We don't have rows of typist anymore. Like, everyone can type if you want, but we also can just speak. And our computers will take it, translate it, transform that speech into words on a page. I don't think my mom has ever written a text in her life. She just speaks to her phone. it's transforming how we do work. Another danger, well, it transforms how we do work, and so we shouldn't despair at it. The lamplighter no longer exists in the world, but we shouldn't despair necessarily at that. Another danger of AI is it's the internet in a black box. Don't give it to your children. Know what you're doing with it. It has a lot of sharp edges. So I say that in that all of the internet has been used to train these algorithms. So all of the ugly sin of humans is now in an algorithm, and you don't know necessarily where it's coming from. You don't know, there's no attribution to it. So AI might give you something back in terms of a response, but you don't know where is that from. So a good example, I think, is if you ask AI, what is God? Don't trust the answer. If you ask AI, what is God according to the Bible, in an Orthodox, Reformed idea, you probably will get a much better answer. But because you're giving the input to narrow down what it is, but it's not going to give you that unless you coax it to. Another danger of AI is just trusting in the algorithm, trusting it and saying, hey, ChatGPT, what do I do? I have this marriage problem, and what am I supposed to do? I wouldn't trust that. Ask a pastor. Ask your Bible. It's going to give you a lot better answer. So another help of AI is it's a faster typewriter. So it's a tool. It's a faster typewriter. And that's how I use it all the time now, is I give it what I want to kind of be done for my software, and then I already have the idea in my head. I describe it with my words, either I type it or speak it, and then AI picks up on enough, and it just types it out a lot faster than I can. And so it's helpful in that. AI is a helpful search engine, in that you can ask a question in English and it will translate it into a search and then look, kind of go through the algorithm and give you an answer. The problem with that is you don't know necessarily where the data is coming from. So if you ask, is the Ukraine war going to end in 2026? Well, if you just Google that, you might end up on, I don't know, some wonk site from the Alliance for Defending Freedom or something like that. And you'll get a human response to that question. AI won't tell you necessarily where that's that is getting the data from there, but it also might search Reddit post, and it might go to Telegram, and it might go to the Russia Today propaganda machine. And so it is a useful replacement for Google, but it's also potentially more complicated. And then the last thing of AI, helpful thing of AI, is it's a pattern matching regurgitation machine. And so if you need data of some sort, if you want to learn about something, you can ask it. You could ask it, how do I write in Latin, and it will probably give you a close enough thing to it because it's pattern matching of your language, your question, to this other training data. So in conclusion, AI is not a person. It's not intelligent. It is real. So it's not artificial, but sometimes it is artificial. It's a tool that humans can use for God's glory, or we can use it for our own glory in our own wickedness. Are there any questions? We're kind of running long. That's okay. I just want to let you know we are running long. But if you have a question, I'm glad I answer it. Okay, I will pray and we can be done.